Well, hello. How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. We're off and rolling here on a Monday morning edition of Sports Radio TSN 1200. Glad you're along for this 25th day of May 2020. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And for those of you listening online, south of the border, happy Memorial Day to you. Here in Ottawa, we are waking up to a little bit of wetness, as a matter of fact. We had some overnight showers. Much needed. Hadn't seen rain in Ottawa in about 10 days or so. So we've had some showers overnight. Looks like they've pretty much wrapped up. Just look at the radar. And actually, the rest of the day, we're going to see a mix of sun and clouds. And it's going to be another steamy day. Humidity up to 31 with a temperature at 26. Tomorrow, warmer still. 31 with a humidity reading at 36. 33 on Wednesday, 27 on Thursday. Heat may break toward the end of the week, but it is going to be a steamy week ahead. And currently, already here we are at 6:06 in the morning. It's 17 degrees. As we say, good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Excellent. Recharge after a beauty weekend, that weather. And hey, driving in, I guess I looked at the forecast, thought the rain was coming a little later. So a little surprise, but still gorgeous. Boy, spring just, I don't know, summer exploded. And we're right in the midst of it. And I think we're all loving it. So how was your weekend?
It was good. I was trying to think of the way in today. What did I do on the weekend? Okay, yeah. I watched The Joker on Friday night.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, for the second time.
Again?
Yeah. What do you mean again?
Well, I just don't see The Joker. It's a very good movie, but I would find it hard to watch a second time.
Oh.
I know where it's going, and it's not a very, it's a very depressing movie.
It's not a very uplifting movie, sure, yes, but I watched it with a couple of people, including one of my daughters who has not seen it before.
Okay. What was the review after? Because I always find you watch a movie a second time. Not that you look at it differently. You catch certain things, but what was the overall review?
I think the overall review from those who hadn't seen it was, wow, it was depressing. Let's go to bed.
Okay. Yeah, we had talked about it as well, and I didn't realize Mira had tried to go to the theater with her oldest boy, and it was kind of like, not going to happen. Well, they switched theaters, went to a different movie, but that was more the idea too, and I guess I almost have to get my head around on a little bit of timing of everything we're going through, but at some point here I'll hunker down and watch it.
Okay, well, you got the Jordan thing out right away. I thought you'd knock that out sometime this weekend.
Well, no, ended up a little cottage action and kind of doing this, that, and another. I can't really try to identify exactly what the other was. But no, I'm just saying I chewed away through the weekend, and we got home yesterday, went to old burgers and shakes, and I was in bed by about 8 o'clock yesterday. It was a weekend, so I had to review the Brady Golf. I had to review a few other things, make sure I'm up to speed for the show today. But there was one of the few weekends, actually, where I haven't watch TV, because I certainly have watched my share the last couple of months.
Did you just yada yada your weekend
JR?
What he just said is exactly that. Like I can't recount by the time I left here at 10:30 a.m. on Friday. I'm trying to kind of review back what the hell I did.
I think there is some investigation is underway, and by 10 a.m. this morning, Hammer, will be your and my task and a good listener.
Bye.
If we can somehow, some way get into what Simmer's this, that, and the other, I can really talk about it, is actually referring to.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant I couldn't think of even, I was trying to just recall for a minute, what the hell did I even do on Friday? That's all. Ended up going cottage on Saturday, back Sunday. I can give a full review of that, but I'm just saying my Friday, it seems like 48 hours is a long time ago.
I'm going with illegal activities. I don't care what you say. You can try and pass it off, okay? It may have been a murder. I'm not exactly positive at this point, but we'll endeavor to find out more before the end.
Well,
of the
I don't think that's good, because Thursday night they did find a body on Donald Street in South Rockcliffe. So let's maybe steer me away from that one, because I spend a lot of time alone. I got nobody. I hope there's a camera in the lobby, because I got no alibi when I'm alone home, other than probably be tracking my darn phone and my stupid Twitter machine that I'm on all the time.
I did set a new record for a Costco visit on Saturday.
Okay,
Costco closing at 6 o'clock. My new thing. And we don't go that often. But from time to time. So 5:15, my new thing is I'm going to go with, because I know there won't be a line with about half an hour to go before it closes. I was going to get a barbecue cover. That was it.
Okay,
old barbecue cover.
That was all you needed.
Had fallen apart sitting in the garage over the winter. So I need a new barbecue cover. Okay, went in for a barbecue cover, walked out within half an hour, having spent $316.
Nice.
Lawn fertilizer, chicken, bug spray, suntan lotion.
Wow.
Some kombucha.
What else was
Can
there
you mix
there?
All that together for something tasty?
Nice cocktail.
Or something that might blow up buildings.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah. Hey, they're like, God, that guy kind of looks like Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, went in for a barbecue cover and walked out $316.
I assume, and I don't know if I've ever been into Costco. Maybe we can go together at some point because we've rented a cottage in July. That was the first thing I thought of. If you're doing a cottage week, I would assume that Costco is a place to hit, is it not?
You can get a lot of different things there.
Yeah,
that's the whole key. And everybody that goes there says the same thing. I had gone in with the idea of getting blank.
Okay, yeah.
And what they're really good at, and I give them full credit for it. You walk in, and then you're just walking past your stuff right away.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
You know what? Do I really need that's a good deal on a can of tennis balls. Now, I don't play tennis.
No.
But my dog might like to chase after a fresh new tennis ball.
No, but
as opposed to the old
one. But also, if we think of things in our lives, and I'll put this very close to Pringles, is there any better smell than when you unseal the fresh balls?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the sound.
No,
the sound first, right?
The sound? What do you mean, Hammer?
That rubber smell.
What?
That is ridiculous.
Oh,
that is awful.
God, that was the greatest thing ever. You knew they were fresh. You knew if you're going to play a good game of chance, a good game of road hockey, maybe even if you even played tennis, you knew you were good to go, that these things were ready to rock and roll. So, no, I actually love that. So.
Are you on your road hockey days, were you a tennis ball or orange hockey ball guy?
You know what? I don't think we played much orange hockey ball. I think probably back to probably living on the airbase, Rockcliff. I don't remember in Orleans there being a whole lot of street hockey. So I think it was mostly tennis ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Orange hockey ball, much easier to control, though.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It just
hurts a lot more.
Well, it was hard to find a tendy, and you get hit in the wrong spot with that. And by temperature drops in November, orange hockey ball is no fun, right? No, nobody wants to play goal. You're getting that in the shins. Usually the tennis ball that had been, the green stuff had come off. That was pretty cool. Right? That moved around a little bit better when it kind of got rock hard. But it's also funny and I guess a bit sad, probably beyond 10 years old. I'm sure the trend's the same way. I mean, in your neighborhood, a little older, or Hammer, do you see many kids even playing street hockey?
Not too many, and I'm not in a good neighborhood for street hockey. There are a few if you go in.
What does I'm not in a good neighborhood for street hockey?
It's a busy street. It's a busy street, okay. So it makes no sense
to go
out there.
Everything's
too many times.
But everything's organized now, right? I mean, you don't tend to see that quite as much, I guess, with probably any sports. But this trend or idea, I think, is that ship has sailed a long time ago, where you walk around neighborhoods and everybody's got the street hockey nets. I mean, people have been there in their driveway, but are you more apt to see a basketball court right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
I see a lot of basketball games. Not too many people other than myself on the old baseball diamond. Some frisbee, a little bit of frisbee.
Yeah, some frisbee golf. That's the old course near my house is reopened again.
Oh, it is nice. Nice.
Yeah, that's good.
Very underrated though, frisbee. I've got to say that is, if you're just in the park and hanging out and want to do some things, and that's actually an excellent game of frisbee.
There you go. Be a hot week to do that. All right, on that note, we'll take a break. 6:13. When we come back, we'll review the news of the weekend. We've got to go all the way back to Friday to get you the latest on the NHL's return to play and some updates throughout the weekend. So we'll delve into that a little bit. We will talk about the match, the big charity golf event yesterday with Tiger and Phil and Peyton and Tom Brady. So we'll some good lines out of that one. So we'll get into that. Baseball, basketball, also their return to play plans. We'll get into some this day in sports history. We'll review some sports birthdays. So we got a busy show ahead. On the guest list, Pierre McGuire will join us, and former NHLer Matthew Barnaby will be by as well. Old Barney will tell some tall tales, I'm sure, later on this morning as well. It is 6:14. We'll take a break. Come back with much more here on a Monday morning. Hope you had a good weekend. Glad you're with us right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Won't be able to read your tweet either because my computer's not working. as well, phone lines. The phone sometimes works. We're still waiting for the phone to come from the U.S. It's hung up at the border. The phone system's been stuck somewhere for about the past month. So we think the phone will work.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get in touch with Pierre McGuire and Matthew Barnaby. Your old buddy Barney is going to join us on the show, Simmer.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say quite old buddy in a sense of, I know he grew up in Ottawa, but quite a bit younger than myself, long gone. Watched him on teams against our teams, and certainly now he's living back here in Ottawa. I've watched a lot of his stuff on TV, and he was always a favorite to Larry Kelly. Always got great stories out of Larry, and his favorite, and anybody that knows Larry Kelly when he had him as an agent, very busy man as a lawyer and an agent. And Barney's favorite story would he call into the secretary and pretend he was Steve Eisenman because he knew that was the only way he's going to get through to Larry.
Is Steve Eisenman an easy guy to impress?
I don't know. But the lady that worked, and you knew the phone number because it was the same phone number forever, and it was the same secretary forever. And I wasn't even a hockey player for very long, but yeah, that does surprise me. But knowing Barney, he probably pulled it off. So have some fun with him for sure.
Yep, he's coming on just after 9 o'clock this morning. All right, so the news of the weekend regarding hockey and its potential return. As we told you, I guess, on the show on Friday, we were expecting a vote throughout the night Thursday and through the day on Friday. Results revealed on a vote from NHL player reps regarding the return to play. It was approved, although not unanimous. 29 of the 31 teams said yes. Carolina and Tampa voted no. Didn't hear why from Carolina. I can get into why Tampa voted in just a second. But any surprise to you that things got passed at least to this initial stage?
No. I was more, as you said, kind of curious from Carolina's side. Who's leading the way? What's the complaint? And on Tampa's side, yeah, I legitimately understand. And that is a group, because that's a good sign to me, that group there, they're locked and loaded. Management has done everything they can. They put themselves in a position where they want to win a Stanley Cup, right? There's no getting to a semifinal or a final race. Now they want to win a cup, and they're a little nervous about these three friendlies they're going to play before they go into the first round of the playoffs. So I understand that side of it. And beyond that, and being past, no, we're just trying to get my head around on what it really means at the end of the day and how this is going to play out.
Yeah, Alex Killorn, who is the player rep for the Tampa Bay Lightning, was interviewed on The Athletic and said their issue, the team's issue with it, was, quote, "The only problem I have with the format is that the top teams that have a bye, I don't know how competitive their games will be going forward, where the teams at the bottom will be playing playoff games right away and would be potentially more prepared for the real playoffs. But there's not going to be any way to do this that satisfies everyone. No. We're just going to try to be as fair as possible. Whatever it is, we're going to have to find a way to play with it."
Yeah.
End quote.
Yeah, and when I look at that, I also say to myself, well, I don't think if you're one of the big boys, you want to also have the chance to be eliminated, right? Here's what my fear would be, and it was where I kind of feel this might be trending, is that if you do the play-in that's a best of five, if they ever get around to a first round that's a best of five, that would scare the bejesus out of me if I'm top teams. History tells you on a best of five, you can all of a sudden blink and you're down two love and you're on the verge of elimination. And though, so that would, you know, if that's where it trends, and if I'm Tampa, yeah, I'm nervous. I just don't know what else you'd end up doing. Because as I said, I just don't know how. I guess you'd play against teams that are fighting for their playoff life. So maybe back to Elliot Friedman's original process, that might have made more sense for Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Anyway, it sounds like we're on the road now. That this is not hey, it's a done deal. Now we're just looking for dates.
No,
there are health and safety protocols that still have to be voted on. There is still the issue, obviously, with the border. Although I see I'm not sure what exact title is, but the American guy essentially said, any athletes that cross the border, you're good to go. No quarantine for you.
Yeah, for
doesn't
sure.
apply coming the other direction at this point.
Yeah.
It's mandatory 14-day quarantine for anyone coming into Canada from, well, anywhere, including the United States, including athletes.
Yeah.
And according to Larry Brooks in the Slapshots column in yesterday's New York Post, that is a big issue at this point. And he essentially wrote that from what sources have told him, that unless the NHL can get the sign-off from the Canadian government on no quarantine, he says, and this is his sources saying, he says there'll be no hub city games in Canada.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't even know what that means, but you can tell in the United States. I mean, you tweeted out the picture on the weekend. I mean, they're taking this seriously. I mean, that crew...
That was in the Ozarks, too.
Jesus Christ. I'm only disappointed I didn't get invited. I mean, like you knew this thing was going to bust loose. You knew in anywhere that's pro-Trump, people are like, are you kidding me? It's Memorial Day weekend. Nobody could get sick of Memorial Day weekend. So, we'll see. I guess this negates in Edmonton. I'm just kind of, and it's funny with Cuomo, and the governor of New York, he's almost begging for business right now, right? Like they are in such a dire situation financially.
Is that what it is?
Well, that's...
Because it's confusing to me.
We're
talking about New York. New York is like... The front cover of the New York Times yesterday had the names of 1,000 people, of the 100,000 who have died. It was very, very powerful.
Very much,
and it was a stark reminder of how down, far down that entire, well, that city in particular, but that entire state is. Sure. And all of a sudden, it feels like it was a week ago.
Yeah.
He's still doing the daily news conference. Like, oh my, you know, we're in such dire straits and the hospitals are overrun. And then all of a sudden, it's like, we're open for business.
Let's get the sports going. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the publication, the problem, but it's also, and I guess I think back to September 11th and how powerful that was. And you look in comparison, the amount of deaths. Now, part of it was the destruction of the Twin Towers, but you're talking about 100,000 people. But this is also the politics of the United States. And obviously, you've got a publication that is so anti-Trump, but that's fine. Hey, these people die. There's no denying that. But in the case of New York, yeah, it almost feels like you're starting to look around and realize, you know what, I can't pay the bills. And when you can't pay the bills, you don't get reelected. And that's unfortunately what kind of trumps all the time. Sorry for the lack of a better word. I found it strange. And as a sports team, I don't know, well, as a league, I can't even see you going there. But that's where kind of state to state it's at. And as far as the National Hockey League, what this would also tell you is that six of the seven Canadian teams, should they reconvene, I'm guessing, well, I guess all teams are going right to this quarantine site anyway, right? But I don't think in case of the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're not coming into Canada for sitting around for 2 weeks, are they? And then going back to the United States, or would they just go have training camp somewhere else?
Well, that's what the Raptors are talking about, right? The Raptors, also, the Knicks and the Celtics have all talked to the NBA about, hey, listen, if we're gonna get a similar thing with the NBA, we're going to go right down to whatever city you choose, and we'll have our training camp there.
Have you been able to find any footage of this wild world of sports in Orlando at Disney? I was just trying to look on the weekend, because when we had the conversation, I was thinking, well, if they're going to bring the whole league there, they're not playing in the singular facility. You touched on some college things, but I thought, well, there must be something built up there, right?
Yeah, I can tell you that just from knowing some people who played soccer around the city, there is a gigantic, gigantic sports infrastructure on Walt Disney World.
Yeah, like, and it's called the Wide World of Sports.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there's like a million soccer fields, and I'm sure there's a million baseball diamonds. Yeah, how many facilities there are that could house NBA games? That I don't know, but hey, it's Disney, so you know it's big.
Oh, and then the build-out. Like again, if you're the NBA, unfortunately for the timing, you won't be able to play outside, too hot. But some of the creative things that you could... It's Disney, as you just said. Like, do you imagine the backdrops you could do instead of having this massive stadium that's empty?
You could have Dumbo.
You can advertise whatever you want, but do you know what I mean? Like, I think the NBA, I'm wondering if they'll almost be like an unveiling, and it'll be like a movie. I mean, the courts themselves now on TV are so cool. Also, going back to the NHL, guys, just going through this, I'm trying to look at it, and you have to look, because we kind of have this mentality like, 23 teams are being asked to go in and spend 2 months in a hotel. When I really look at this, what I think is happening here is you're going to have the 5-game play-in. You're going to have the little round robin with the big boys. Then, if it's a best of 5, you are basically, at the end of the day, I will say within 3 weeks, you're going to have 23, 7 of the teams that never made it, 6 and, you know, another 16 that are eliminated. You're basically 3 weeks into this going to only have 8 teams playing, right? Like, yeah. Like, when you look at this big picture, just understand, and I think to the 8 teams end, when you can kind of sniff the end of the line for the Stanley Cup, I think he can hunker down and buy in, but we have to get away the thought of, oh, God, everybody's checking in. No. Most of these guys have figured out, again, from your membership standpoints, 3/4 of the people after 3 weeks are going to be back home. People say, well, they're going to go into quarantine. Yeah, they're going to go hang out in their house, and they're probably going to go golf on a daily basis. But that's kind of, you know, I was just trying to look at this big picture.
Right. So I mentioned the Larry Brooks part about Canada potentially not being a host country or a hub city based on what he's hearing. Now, Emily Kaplan covers the NHL for ESPN, and she said yesterday that right now the two hub cities being looked at are Vegas, for sure, and a Canadian city.
Okay. Now, the NHL still hasn't told players when they would have to return back. 17% of players are currently outside North America, but the NHL has decided where they will go. Well, kind of. Unlike the NBA, they do think they're probably going to go to Vegas. They're going to do 2 or 4 hub cities. They've narrowed the list down to 8 or 9. Like I said, Vegas is a favorite. And ideally, the NHL will also pick a Canadian city for a lot of reasons, one of which, it's just cheaper to put on games there.
There you go. And Emily is a frequent guest of Ian and company on The Drive. So she's well-connected within hockey circles. So, again, we're kind of hearing mixed messages there. She's saying Vegas and a Canadian city. Larry Brooks is saying no Canadian hub city. yeah. unless there's a change of attitude about the quarantine.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. That to me points to Toronto. I don't think you're using two Western cities. Not that it's a big deal, but
I was thinking about that. So why not?
Well, no, exactly. I'm not saying. That's just my idea. I kind of look at it and think, would you go Vegas and Edmonton? No, you could in this case, but it also tells me much like a New York City.
Because you got
City,
no fans of the game, so you're not worried about if we put a game on at 10 o'clock at night in terms of the local time. Hey, you know that's what the players are doing. Yeah, they could play till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I just thought, hey, if you're Toronto, whether the economics are huge, is this a good sign that you're restarting business? Also, federally to provincially, and I guess from a city standpoint, it would be interesting to see how each of them kind of reacts to a bunch of people coming in. So, but hey, there'd be no big issue if all of a sudden it's Edmonton to Vegas, and even for the players themselves. Like I said, this idea that, oh, it's so glamorous to be in Vegas, it's the middle of the summer. Edmonton's a beautiful spot. You're going to be controlled in almost everything you can do, so I don't see it being that big of a deal.
I don't think they would change their mind based on events of the weekend, but optically, if you were to come out today and say it's Vegas and Toronto after we saw what went down in Toronto on the weekend with all those yahoos all gathered together in that downtown park, it's that would be, I think, the last thing right now that the mayor of Toronto would say, hey, by the way, we're bringing in all these outsiders into our city right now. And again, they're not going to make a final decision anytime soon, but just if they had to announce it today, it would be a bad day to do that
based on what we saw on the weekend. No, it could for sure. And I guess just at the end of the day, like the economics of it, sure, the teams are coming in and spending some dough, but with everything being closed up, with not having any fans go in, I guess you'd have to look at what the deal is at the end of the day. And also, hey, if you're the National Hockey League, don't kid yourself. If Edmonton rolling in and say, listen, we're going to cater, we're going to put this on, this is what we're giving you, here's a free golf course, obviously you get the venue for free, that's going to make a difference on the bottom line as well.
Yeah. All right. So we'll wait and see. As we mentioned, there's a long racetrack ahead. The last thing we'll probably hear of specifically are dates, but they've at least got an initial sign off from the players on this. So much more to be negotiated. All right, we'll take a break, 6:32. When we come back, we'll get into the rest of the story from the weekend, including the match. Did you watch the charity golf event yesterday? I got to say, and I kind of went in with, you know what, I'll probably check it out for a bit. Yeah. I was in for the entire thing, front to back. It was really good.
Well, how did Brady end up playing?
Well, we'll get into it when we come back. Okay. Hence, that's the art of the tease here. That's why I say when we come back. All right, we'll do that when we come back here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. They should cool off a bit, it looks like, on Friday. So a warm week ahead. We're already at 17 degrees. It's not necessarily you're thinking about hockey when you're thinking about those temperatures, but that doesn't mean you might not want to listen to it. It's the World Juniors Revisited, back again for another week. And tonight we're going to take you back just a couple of years to the 2018 World Juniors. This was the one in Buffalo. Remember the one where they had the outdoor game between Canada and the U.S.? The one with Alex Formanton and Drake Batherson, the one that went to a shootout, and this guy.
And now Tkachuk will shoot for Team USA, trying to give them a 2-0 lead. Tkachuk is scoring! A goal in regulation and a goal in the shootout to make it 2-0.
That's a pretty slick move by Brady Tkachuk.
There you go. And that would stand up, actually, as the game winner. Brady Tkachuk, shootout winner in that outdoor game. We'll have that game for you tonight here on TSN 1200.
Yeah, and think back a couple of years ago to the draft and the thought of, does he stay in school? You could send him to Belleville. Does he play in the National Hockey League? Obviously, a couple of years into it, could not have gone better. And I would, if I was in charge of the hockey club, probably not the start of this year, maybe the following year, end up making him the captain. So cool to hear those names, and nice that they're all Ottawa Senators property.
Yeah, absolutely. If I remember that shootout goal correctly, that was where, you know, and again, it's just from watching and this whole thing about, you only got 8 goals. I remember him scoring. I remember how good a passer he was at that World Juniors.
Yeah.
You could tell he had a good set of hands. And then on that shot, that was showing he had a nice little soft set of hands on that. That was a real slick move. That's where he got an indication. Is he going to be a huge power forward in the NHL? He already was that at 18 years old, but you could tell he had great hockey sense, but also just a good set of hands as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. And the next phase of this is hopefully off the rush there, much like his dad. Boy, that was fun to watch where he just off the rush with that big body, power forward, could also from the top of the circle. So that will continue and evolve. And my other memory of that, unfortunately, is just how darn bad those games are, for the most part, outdoor games. And in a classic Canada, United States, it was still fun and fun to know that he's part of the Ottawa Senators right now. But the optics of it, it's just never quite the same in the way the boards are and how far the camera angles are. And hopefully we won't see that again.
All right, 6:41, by the way, 6 o'clock for the broadcast tonight of the 2018 round-robin game, Canada and the U.S. All right, so over the weekend, and it's Memorial Day weekend, so it's a holiday today. If you did not stay up to watch the end of the NASCAR race, I can tell you that Brad Keselowski ended up winning the rain-delayed Coca-Cola 600, which is actually the Coca-Cola 607, because it went overtime thanks to a late caution. And they raced 7 extra laps, and Brad Keselowski ends up winning it. That ends up being the longest race in NASCAR history in terms of length. That's already 600 is the longest. It went overtime, 6:07. It also was rain delayed, didn't end until after midnight. So you had to stick with that for a long time. I was flipping through the channels at 7 o'clock when the golf was still on, and they had at that point it had stopped raining, but they had those, I don't know what they are. It's kind of a heating system or something where they go around the track and they're just trying to basically
the dry helicopter it out. Jet engines?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
That's a favor right there.
Yes, exactly. But you could tell that it was going to be a long night, but I had no idea it would last until after midnight. You have to be a huge NASCAR fan to stick with it that long.
Yeah, I think people are right now in the United States. If you're home, it's a long weekend, opportunity to watch that. Kind of cool. That's amazing what that is. And you think about that, they race over 400 miles. And to try to keep yourself safe. But I just don't know mentally how those guys are able to do that, how locked in you have to be to complete a race like that. When people wonder if they're athletic or not, come on, get inside there and understand everything you're going for. These fast twitch muscles that these guys have are absolutely incredible.
You got to do. You got to watch Man versus Machine. That'll tell you
there. Oh, man. Huh? Exactly. Inside. You guys won't listen. You can watch Rush. You could watch the Senna documentary. There's all kinds of stuff I've laid out there just to feel it. That would be a good one to watch.
Now, who was the this typically would have been the weekend that the Indy 500 usually is run in the early afternoon. Then the Coca-Cola 600, the big NASCAR race, I think usually kicks off, I believe, at 6 o'clock at night.
Okay.
Who was the guy that ran that raced in both on the same day? Remember, he raced in the Indy.
Took a helicopter?
Got in a private jet, whatever it was, went down and raced in the Coca-Cola 600 on the same day. It's fairly well known.
Eight drivers have attempted. John Andretti, Robbie Gordon, Tony Stewart, and Kurt Busch.
Okay.
They call it double duty. It's got a nickname to it, double duty. Do the Indy and then head out to the Coca-Cola.
And so you are going from Indianapolis to Charlotte? And so if you are doing that, you're right. You'd have to end up flying down. And that would that be because the certain race teams, they have cars in all these different races? Is that why?
I think it's also just drivers trying to push themselves, right? And they're making a name for themselves. They're getting their name out there doing a doubleheader like that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we had that. We had the Bundesliga again on Saturday. Yeah. Congratulations, Simmer. By the way, your Leipzigians took out Mainz huge, 5-0.
They were supposed to win.
Yeah, yes, no, exactly. I was going to say, it's a pretty stinky crew, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Down 17th place. Hammer and my teams both took on the top 2 seeds in the league. Hammer, your team took on Bayern Munich. What's your team again?
Eintracht Frankfurt. Yeah. Alfonso Davies.
I want to hear in German or English how that is supposed to be.
With a nice accent.
I don't know what this Eintracht or whatever you're saying.
Eintracht.
What is that anyway? We've got to find that out too, because I love when the sponsors, right? Usually something relates to like Chelyabinsk. Schraktor was obviously the plant that makes the tractors. You got some mining, so you have different things. So we'll find that out. So how'd your team do? How do Wolfsburg fare?
VLK, which is Volkswagen, is the sponsor of my Wolfsburg team, fell to Borussia Dortmund 2-0.
Yeah.
Arrived home from my golf game, immediately logged on to Twitter to see how my boys did, because I got a shout-out from the team Twitter account on Friday that I was on board and all in on Wolfsburg. But, hey, listen, we were on the road. Tough matchup. So it fell 2-0, but that's
on
all
the road,
good.
There's no crowd. It doesn't matter. There's no home.
No, but you got
to travel. You got to do
the English to German translator now and just send a message of hang in there, boys. John.
Chin's up. Hey? Chin's up, fellas. Old JR's got your back here in Ottawa. Yeah.
All I got is Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes. That's all I can think of right now. I see nothing.
What about Colonel Klink? You can throw a little of that. Maybe put in the eyepiece as well.
Yeah. Definitely not Hogan, though, because he had an untoward real life.
Yeah, he did. Deeper.
Yes. All right, so we had that going on, and then yesterday we had the match, the big charity golf event with Tiger and Phil and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady that ended up being delayed by rain and actually was besieged by rain for off and on. I tell you what, those guys were in and out of the rainwear about six different times throughout the course of the 3 to 4 hours it went on. But they got it in. A lot of concern earlier in the day that it might actually be rained out, but they did get it in. And you know what? To each his own, I can say for me, and I'm a golf fan, would I have normally watched it if we were in the middle of the NBA and NHL playoffs? I probably would have watched a bit of it, but with nothing going on pretty much for 10 weeks, I was open to the idea of going, start to finish, and that's what I ended up doing. I really, really enjoyed it. I don't know what I was expecting, but whatever I was expecting, it exceeded it. And maybe it was the fact that Tom Brady, for sure Tom Brady, less so Peyton Manning, they became human in terms of their athletic accomplishments during this thing. We saw, we went into it saying I've never seen either of them golf before, right? That Peyton Manning was a 6.4 handicap and Tom Brady is an 8. And for those that don't know golf or handicaps, that means you're a pretty decent golfer. You're carrying around those kind of numbers. Peyton Manning, maybe a 6.4, maybe. There is no chance that Tom Brady is an 8.1. No chance. He probably went through a dozen balls. He was like straight right into the swamp.
Wow.
His first six or seven holes were some of the worst golf I've ever seen. But at the same time, and I'm not cheering for him to be bad.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay, Tom Brady, maybe the greatest football player or the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's not a very good golfer. And so I can see that. I've done a lot of the same shots he has. So that was really neat to see him become
human.
Do you
not admire him a little bit more because he's not perfect? Do you see him now in a different light? Yeah, he can be your everyday Joe now that you've seen him on the golf course act like everybody else on any other golf course. He was terrible for the most part.
Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah. And I liked him.
Yeah. And I should give him, by the way, kudos, because in the second nine, which was alternate shot, which was actually much tougher, in the first nine holes, you're playing your own ball. And so for the most part, the pros' scores ended up counting.
Yeah.
So when he hits it out of bounds 17 times, it doesn't really matter. In alternate shot, man, you hit it sideways. Sorry, you're dropping and you're counting two more on your scorecard. So there's a lot more pressure in alternate shot. He made a lot more shots in the second nine. So he kind of settled in. Peyton Manning was actually very good. He's got a crazy big draw, but he knows how to play it. Like he's aiming way off to the right, but it always ends up in the middle. Yeah. So he knows his shot, which is all you want in golf, right? Tiger was Tiger. He was in terms of his game on top of it. Like he was all world yesterday. But didn't have a whole lot to say. And that's Tiger Woods. I don't expect him to be sunshine and lollipops. But the star of the show, in my opinion, is Phil Mickelson, right? Mm-hmm. He is perfect for that format because he just keeps talking. And he did a bunch of different stuff. He talked through some shots he was going to make and then actually pulled them off. So if you're a golf fan, just to be able to watch someone assess, this is how I'm going to chip it. This is where I want to chip it to. This is why I want to do what I'm doing. And then for him to actually do it. And he did that three or four different times.
Yeah.
So that was really neat. But there was also just the kind of boyish enthusiasm he had when Brady would make the odd shot here and there. And he also drove the green on a par 330 yard par four, put it 10 feet from the flag, like some unbelievable shot making. And you could tell he just wanted to put a bunch of money on that if he could have his own personal dough. So I thought Phil was the star of the show.
Well, hey, you're playing. I mean, that is the beauty of it. You play all the time. You're always using the term partner, right? Like how your partner reacts, because you can tell when he's pissed. And then you can tell when he's trying to prop you up, try to get you going. In the case of Brady, he does. Do you think Phil Mickelson's looking at Tony Romo? And I know he's got a ton of cash, but do you think down the road, if they said, listen, would you like to do commentary on a U.S. Open or on a Masters? Not that you're going to be on the tour the whole time, but do you see that in his future now?
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
He'd be one of those. He'd be like you know how the networks want to bring Peyton Manning on, and
no,
so
exactly,
far he
yeah,
said no.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they would want to bring Phil Mickelson on for golf.
Because
he's Phil Mickelson, even as Tiger Woods was winning all his majors at the top of his game, you could make the argument at that point that Phil Mickelson was still a more popular golfer. From a personal point of view,
people
admired Tiger's golf game, no doubt about that. In relation to Phil, but I think people gravitate more toward Phil based on his personality.
Yeah, and for a while, people made fun of the body and the man boobs and all the other stuff.
He's got himself pretty good shape now.
Yeah, and it's just the personality, like all the things there. And when you're talking and loving, seems to be in a great place in life. And no excuses for my boy Tom. I do wonder realistically, because I don't even know, like, to be an 8.5, and every golfer is different, but it's when you think for a hockey player. Like, a hockey player, what's your handicap? Well, if I play a couple of times during the season, when the season's over and I'm at the club 3 or 4 days a week, where your handicap goes to, I wonder how much he's really played. And even to get dedicated in your body, not that it's a big change, but right now the guy's training to try to be a football player and just factor in the nerves, right? I mean, how everybody would handle that. And I don't care what you've done in sports. This is just taking you completely out of your comfort zone.
Listen to you, Tom, apologist. He doesn't even know the rules of the game. He hit one in the water. Okay, red staked, and he's gone. He doesn't even know, like if you played enough golf to have an 8 handicap, you probably should know what happens when you hit it in the water.
No. How did
I call shenanigans on that handicap?
I only saw a couple of clips. How big did they look compared to Tiger and Phil?
Well, they're all stood up with a big check at the end. Okay. And I did notice then that certainly Tom and Peyton, I wouldn't say tower. Phil's a pretty big boy.
Yeah.
Tiger was certainly the shortest of the bunch, but Tiger's not that small either. They were taller, but not extremely taller.
Yeah, because Manning, and good for him to get kind of his afterlife after retiring. You're wondering, would you have the ability to swing a club? They both are healthy, and they're both big boys and pretty athletic crew.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, there were a lot of bad shots, but I will give credit. The shot of the day goes to Tom Brady. So as I mentioned, he's going left and right and everywhere but down the middle in the first six holes. On the seventh hole, it's par five, hits a tee shot out of bounds. So he's three off the tee, and then he's in the middle of the fairway, and Charles Barkley is in his ear, absolutely giving to him. Charles Barkley is doing some of the commentary and just ripping Tom Brady. And then Tom Brady does this.
Come on, man. I'm going to give you some shots, man. I want of you.
Chuck, I've been focusing on football, bro. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. Man.
Ready to dominate.
Got number turn on. Don't worry, it ain't over yet.
I think you just made him mad, Chuck.
Oh, no, I love it, though, man. He can take a joke.
Oh, go in!
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness!
Oh, you made it!
Wow!
Chuck.
Hey, man, that's awesome.
Shut your mouth, Chuck. Take a little of that medicine.
Shut your mouth, Chuck. Tom Brady holes out from the fairway for a birdie out of nowhere. Like, literally, he had not made one shot in the first seven holes, and then he holes out from the fairway.
Yeah, that reminds me. I feel a little Michael Jordan going right there, right? Where you just piss the guy off to a certain point.
I think one of the other guys was talking over him, but I think he said, suck it, Chuck. After that, like, Tom Brady, and I can totally, totally identify with him. Like, he is hitting it so bad that, and I would say he's sulking, but he's not saying very much.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And then he holds that, and all of a sudden, he's chirping around like a bird. Yeah. Like, he can't stop talking after that.
Anybody that's played a match for $5 knows exactly that, right? That feeling of...
One good shot!
You got nothing going, and then all of a sudden you hit one, and like I said, it's all about your partner, too, and Phil having some fun, and then all of a sudden you get rolling, and hey... Everybody, if you played any sport, I think it really does come down to anything. But in the case of golf, whether you're playing two against two or playing in a group, that competitive nature always comes out, no matter what you're playing for. If you're not, then you're probably not very successful in sports, because I think everybody feels the same way.
See that Drew Brees and Sergio Garcia want next now. Halfway through the match, Drew Brees is on Twitter saying, okay, me and Sergio get the winner. So who knows? Yeah, you know what? At the end of the day, they raised $20 million, which is unbelievable for COVID. COVID research, which at the end of the day is the most important thing. Who knows? I mean, for me, again, as a golf fan, I don't know how the casual sports fan who maybe isn't into golf as much enjoyed it. I don't know if I'd want to see it every weekend. But boy, it was welcome after 10 weeks of a lot of reruns in terms of sports.
Well, and also for those four, like, you imagine, I know it's a tough time for a lot of companies. the star power, and realistically, how many phone calls it would take for Tom Brady, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and Peyton Manning to raise $20 million, right? Like, I mean, that is the beauty of those four guys right there. And that's the harder part, is that now you bring in Sergio, who really isn't overly popular in the United States, and Drew Brees certainly is, but how can you recreate? You kind of, hey, this is the best of the best, kind of leave it alone.
Yeah. You want to have some fun, you can go to one of the, like the Score website, or even TSN has put together a sort of a compilation of all the jibes that were coming in on Tom Brady and his golf game. It's in the first six holes. Sean Payton, the Saints head coach, tweeted, he likes the Florida Brady much better than the one.
Yeah, that transfers over to the football field, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the deflated balls because of the line of the score and everything else.
Yeah. All good. All right, 6:56. We'll take a break. Get you the latest news from 580 CFRA. And then when we come back, more on the news of the weekend. The NHL player reps vote yes. So there's a tentative step toward hockey returning potentially this summer. We'll get into where baseball and basketball we're at. We'll talk to Pierre McGuire and Matthew Barnaby coming up later on in the show. Get to this day in sports history. Celebrate some sports birthdays as well. It's all straight ahead here on a Monday morning. We're glad you're with us here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.